We are pleased to have in studio with us members of the North Platte Public Schools. We got Superintendent Dr. Todd Rhodes with us. How you doing, Super?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Are you a superintendent today?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think on behalf of the three of us that we'd like to thank our veterans in our community on this Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
And probably in particular, we have a lot of employees at North Platte Public Schools that have served in the armed forces as well. So just a big thank you to that group.
We don't do it enough. For sure. So you had Ann Brandon Peterson, not to leave you out. You get the final word at the end there. You always have a little note, a note, piece of paper there. Your yellow cheat sheets,
yep.
But something to remind you what's going on. But good to have you. And Board President Emily Garrick, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
So. After you get through all the preliminaries there, you had a special presentation and a student spotlight and did your staff foundation report and staff recognition. So whoever wants to summarize that for us, go right ahead.
Well, I'll maybe touch on the Bulldogs of the Month for October.
Okay.
These are two of our seniors at North Platte High School, outstanding students involved in a lot of extra curricular activities. You know, they do a lot of service to our community. They're student council representatives in some cases and serve on different state organizations as well. So this month we had Colby Beatty and we had Henry Klein, and Colby Beatty is one of our student council officers. And Henry Klein, who's involved in a lot of different activities, he actually is serving his second year on the Nebraska School Activities Association Student Advisory Council. He had applied for that at the end of his sophomore year and was selected by the NSAA to be on that student advisory team. So he travels to Lincoln quarterly for meetings, and he works with the executive director of NSAA. He goes to different state activities as well. So he's just been a great representative. So these two were just outstanding students to be recognized as October Bulldogs of the Month.
What do they do as part of that student advisory committee then? What's the main function of that?
Well, I think they do a variety of things. I've looked a little bit at their agendas over the past. They meet quarterly in Lincoln, and then they also have some virtual meetings as well. So they are really kind of that feedback group for the NSAA on just activities in general and district competitions, state competitions, just to get that student feedback on our extracurricular activities.
Do they make like suggestions on how to improve things?
Yeah, absolutely. Then? Absolutely. And the other part of it is there's a service component as well. And I mentioned that Henry has been involved in a couple different state championship events. So they work those events as well and kind of are able to experience kind of the inner workings of some of our state championships.
Sounds
really
cool.
Really a neat deal.
Sounds cool. Has that existed for quite a while now? Or?
You know, I believe when Jennifer Schwartz came in as the executive director of the NSA, I think it's something that she had instituted at that time. So it's probably been, five or 6 years that they've been doing that.
I think that's good, too, because, we oftentimes look at these organizations as not wanting input from the ones that make you be a great organization, that namely the students, they're the ones that are putting in all this work and competing, whatever it may be. And when you get feedback from them, just to solicit feedback's a good thing, but I'm sure they're implementing some things too that are making these events better for everyone concerned. Yeah. Good deal. So have we covered all the recognitions that you did during the meeting then?
We also had, as part of our monthly foundation report, Terry Burchill and the foundation, in conjunction with some local businesses that are typically on a rotation, they recognized Staff of the Month. And so that rotation this month, it was Eisenhower Elementary that was recognized for our Staff of the Month. There was a paraprofessional recognized, Chantel Franzen. And then special education teacher Stephanie Humphreys. And so they share a little bit about them and what makes them, standouts in our district. But one thing that I thought was really cool that Kevin Mills shared during our staffing update was that Stephanie Humphreys was actually one of our individuals who went through our para to teacher program. And so she started as a para and is now a teacher. And then the other, Chantel, has actually been part of the para to teacher program. So I think that those individuals being recognized and knowing that background of that program really speaks volumes about our ability as a district to grow our own. And that was just really exciting to hear that.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're all excited anytime that happens when somebody starts out as a para, and then they decide at a certain point that I'd like to make this a career, right?
Yeah, I think so, and I think we all acknowledge that being a para can be a difficult job. So I think when you find those right people yeah. that step in, and that's where their passion is, and they realize that they're passionate about children and education, yeah. and they want to further that. I think that's how you know you really have the right people in place.
Yeah. And then they get out there and tell others, you should try it too, you know. Yeah. So
that's the goal.
That speaks well, for sure. And then you went into public comment, public participation at board meetings. This is something that's always, is that pretty much always on the on your agenda there?
Yes, just, that is part of the Nebraska Open Meetings Act. That
just to allow people to come in?
Absolutely.
Did you have any comments from the public last night?
We did not. No, we actually have had a lot of public comment recently. So a lot of our meetings lately have, which is always great to see the public coming and engaging. And
does it cover a wide variety of things? Or
they are allowed to speak to the board really about anything as it relates to the district and the board. Public comment is not allowed to be, you know, you can't discuss individual disciplinary actions with particular students, and you can't share specifics. We also don't allow people to get up there and, you know, rant about a specific staff member, those types of things.
Right.
So we do ask that it not violate anyone's rights through that process. But other than that, you know, the public is welcome to come and comment. I think it can be a little bit of a surprise for people when they do that, because the board cannot engage in back and forth discussion, because we are strictly held to our requirements to not violate Nebraska open meetings law. So we are only allowed as a board to discuss what's on our agenda, but we absolutely welcome hearing from people if there are things that, you know, they're passionate about, they want to see more information about, that is their opportunity to come speak.
What's
to the
most common thing you hear from people that utilize this format?
Well, I think during budget season, you know, there are a lot of people that have opinions, concerns one way or the other. We hear from both sides of the table, truly, when it comes to budget and decisions that we're making there. I think that we've heard from individuals about all kinds of things as it comes to, you know, policies that we're setting about disciplinary measures or about the way that we handle things in the district. I think over time, we've probably heard public comments about things like curriculum and some of those,
yeah,
you know,
I was
broader
wondering
scope
if that was
things.
Part of it too.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So it's always great to hear, you know, I always tell people we don't know what we don't know. So we do our best to be informed as board members, and we try to be engaged in the community and in the district, but we also aren't mind readers. So it is really helpful when the public, you know, sends an email or makes a phone call or comes to a meeting. We certainly, we welcome that.
What kind of feedback have you been getting about the cell phone policy that went into effect this fall?
I have heard nothing but good feedback.
Just all good, really?
Truly, I have had so many parents thank me for that policy. I would be curious, Dr. Rhodes and Brandon, have you heard anything different internally?
Actually, we were at Adams Middle School on Friday and visiting classrooms, and we were with Mrs. Brocious and Mr. Bradley, our principal and assistant principal, and that was one of the questions I asked was, how was the cell phone ban going? And both of them said, it's just been very, very quiet on that front. And we visited, you know, it's kind of more of a secondary issue than elementary, and so Madison, Adams, and then, of course, North Platte High School did a great job of communicating very early last spring, actually, on what was to come from this. So I think the other thing that's helpful with something like this is to have the backing of state law. helps a great deal as yeah. well. So
yeah, the governor kind of initiated that.
Yeah. So yeah. I think all three of those buildings at the secondary level, I think it's been very successfully implemented in all three of those buildings. Now, that's not to say on occasion that you don't have a student that has their cell phone. But all three buildings have a place that those kids keep their cell phone that is not on their person. And so we go into classrooms all the time, and I have not seen a cell phone out, a student cell phone out in the classroom.
Good. Well, that probably speaks to, they're probably finding it. You probably find out by doing that that, hey, I mean, I can get along without it for a few hours. It's not the end of the world, and you can catch up on things, and usually the sky doesn't fall while you're in school. You know,
so you bet.
Usually there's not life and death things that happen. So, I think that should challenge us as adults, too, to not have it out in front
You're
of
right.
us all the time,
You're
too.
Right.
Although we feel like, I mean, you know, in our jobs, we feel like we have to have it with us in case something happens that we have to attend to. But we don't have to be staring at it all the time or scrolling, stuff like that. I think that's good. Wanted you to mention one of your duties every year is to set the calendar for the following year. And that's a process. It doesn't happen just all at once. I'm guessing you kind of take the previous years and set that as your kind of your template, and then you look at dates, and especially for your holiday vacation there in December on into January, and tweak that as necessary depending on when the major holidays fall on.
I think you're absolutely right on that. So October is kind of the month that internally we begin to look at calendar and start to develop that for the upcoming school year. And then, of course, we vet that with different stakeholder groups during kind of the month of November. We present that to the Board of Education in November with the plan to adopt that mm-hmm. calendar in December. And then that really gives families, I think, time to plan accordingly on the upcoming year and what that's going to look like.
I would think so, yes. Yeah.
And I will tell you that one of the things I do frequently is I look at board agendas and board minutes from a lot of different public schools. And we probably, from a timeline, adopt our calendar as early as anybody does. Now, some people do a two-year adoption of a calendar, and so they'll kind of get out in front. We did that a few years ago. But as you said, this calendar is very similar to this year's calendar and the previous calendar. I think some of the highlights with this calendar are our student contact days. We have 174 student days, and so we're really committed to that student contact time. And then, of course, contractually, our certificated staff are contracted for 185 days of service to the district. So we have a job-embedded professional development on Wednesday afternoons. This will be the third year that we've had that early out Wednesday. That's a 2:30 dismissal, so... Emily, would you add anything to that?
No, I think, you know, I made mention last night, but sometimes things like this that feel, you know, very routine, you know, you think, oh, it's kind of mundane, it's a calendar, how exciting is that? But truly, I think we've seen some really positive impacts on our district from decisions that were made a couple of years ago as it pertains to calendar. And so one of those changes was how we really handled PLC time with our staff and the change in professional development. And I think I'm excited that in the coming months, we'll have some exciting news to share as far as data goes with that. But just really putting into perspective that sometimes these things that feel really routine and mundane still carry very big implications with them. And so really doing our due diligence and taking a careful look at those things and making decisions that are best for our district. Mm-hmm. You know, even a calendar can be exciting. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I know students and parents already want to know when the first days of school is going to be, so we'll just throw them out there. August 12th for K through 9 is the first day next year, and for 10 through 12, the 13th, Thursday. So there you go. No, that's really not the important thing, is when is Christmas vacation 2026-27? Well, it looks like the end of quarter two is December 18th, and so you get basically two solid weeks, although there is professional work time, I notice, on the 21st, so the teacher's got to hang around, it looks like.
Correct.
There, but as far as students, it looks like December 21st. And then since January 1st, 2027 falls on a Friday, they get that, and then they get the weekend. They don't have to come back till the 4th. Pretty good deal, huh?
Yeah.
Can't beat that. All right. And, oh, when's the last day of school? That's important, too, here.
12th.
The 12th. Students' last day, May 12th. You know, and that's the thing, too. People say, well, it seems like we're starting earlier every year. Well, I mean, when you get out on the 12th, I mean, that's May 12th. That's a pretty good deal. I mean, so you don't feel as cheated. You know, you're still getting basically three solid months, you know, of time off.
Well, so. and that is, you know, the caveat with any calendar is, you know, your start and end dates are, they're contingent on one another, obviously. And so, you know, about the only thing you can do is if you want to start later, and earlier is you reduce your student contact days.
You got to have another.
That just isn't good for kids.
You have to build in the same amount of days.
Absolutely.
So it's just going to, it's always going to shift depending on what you decide to do. And I think you're probably feedback. You probably get some negativity about starting in the middle of August. But on the same token, nobody's going to complain about getting out, you know, before the 15th of May either, right?
Right.
I think every year get questions about why are our start and end dates not tied to Labor Day and Memorial Day holidays.
Fall practices, right?
Yes, there's so much that happens outside
certainly
of our district.
Certainly is part of it,
As it comes to activities and those things. So really, some of those things, it sounds good in theory. I think we'd all love that, but it may not really work.
I think coaches
practice.
Would love to have them, you know, no classes for a little longer, and they could just have like all day sessions, you know, between classroom and getting out on the field or in the gym, whatever. They probably are running, whatever. They'd probably go for that too, but that's the reason. And here at the end, a couple of things on the policies. You roll through those and take a look at those every year and go through a section of policies. I noticed you brought up 4038, which is classified staff defined, and crossed out some things in that one. Do you want to comment on that?
Just
kind of narrowed it down a little.
Yep. So we're on a 2-year rotation to review our policies. And actually the discussion on this particular policy came up several months ago when we were discussing handbooks. And it really stemmed from a place we had a board member at the time who actually had been a classified staff herself and retired from the district. And so it was something that she had some questions about, felt strongly about, and that kind of spurred some initial conversations. And truly, this policy has been a work in progress for, 5 months, something along those lines. We've had several conversations with our district attorney in giving us some legal advice on what we could, couldn't do, should, shouldn't do. We've had, you know, things and ideas brought from board members from a variety of angles. And ultimately, this is what we landed on last night, which I think kind of creates a perfect marriage of the ideas that were brought to the table, which really does still hold our staff accountable. And Nebraska is an at-will state, which kind of adds an interesting layer to things. But we also wanted to add in some reassurance in there to those classified staff that they're not just going to be fired on a whim for no reason.
I noticed that. You crossed out that section that their employment may be amended or terminated at any time and without any cause.
Yes. So it really, this is something we've already been doing as a district. We already do evaluate those staff. And so putting it into policy really isn't changing anything that we're doing in practice right now. But I do believe language is powerful. And so what we're hoping this communicates to those staff members who many of them have very difficult jobs is that we do really value you being here in the district, and we hope that this language communicates that.
Okay. The other one was closed campus. looks like you kind of continued that on without any adjustments on the on that, or did you clarify
actually,
a little?
Yeah, Dr. Rhodes brought this. He added, he doubled that policy right there in Link. Dr. Rhodes, would you share?
Okay.
So initially, this particular policy 5032 was just that first paragraph. And so we do have close campuses across the district. However, there are some circumstances at North Platte High School that we do allow kids to be off campus. So we wanted to make sure that we were clarifying that within this policy. So that second paragraph is really about North Platte High School and college courses, for instance, dual credit at Mid Plains Community College. And then there's some other examples that we have kids that are off campus as well. So we worked with Mr. Spetansky, our high school principal, to make sure that we what we have in policy is what we practice as well.
Good deal. Anything else out of the meeting that you wanted to highlight?
You know, we had a great presentation from our student council officers from North Platte High School. And I would just mention at their state convention, which was in September, they were the number one student council in the state of Nebraska in terms of fundraising. So this is a group that works really, really hard, gives a lot back to our community. But they raised, I believe, over the course they do a 4K run or 5K run. They do a golf tournament. They do a tailgate at one of the Bulldog football games. And all that fundraising goes back to a cause that they choose generally either the year before or in the fall. So just a super group of kids. One of our officers is actually the president of the state student council organization.
That's
so that's quite an honor as well. And Mr. Josh Bruck, who is our student counselor advisor at North Platte High School, he was recognized as the state advisor this past fall as well.
Good.
So he's been recognized by his peers at the state level. So just a really great organization, great group of kids, and big congratulations to Mr. Bruck.
All right. Brandon, you're on. You're up.
If you're looking for a good way to celebrate and honor our veterans on Veterans Day, tonight at Jefferson Elementary, they're having their pancake and sausage meal. And they have an open house and a program that goes along with that. It starts at 5 o'clock and is a free will donation. And then the proceeds for that go to Wreaths Across America. So a really cool tradition that they do there. And we also on the 13th have our high school 1X program competing in COSAD. And then on the 17th, officially winter sports and activity season starts.
That'd be next Monday. Yeah, I know this is the week that the kids hate because they got a condition. You just get a run. You know?
See a lot of running in the halls.
A lot of running. Can't get on the mats or shoot the hoops yet. So, but it will start next week, and before you know it, it's just like everything's compressed going into winter because of Thanksgiving week, and then you give a few days off and you come back. It's like it's go time, right?
Absolutely.
For sure. We want to thank Brandon Peterson, your communications director there with North Platte Public Schools, Board President Emily Garrick, and Superintendent Dr. Todd Rhodes. Thanks all for coming in and spreading the good news about North Platte Public Schools, and look forward to having you back next month.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.